Hello, this is Mystic Babylon Open Mic Poetry Podcast, broadcasting from near the Hate. Today we have two poets besides me. These poets are H.T. Moe and Doug Reese. H.T. Moe has many, many books out which can be purchased from numerous places, the main one being his website at www.htmoe.com. The second poet, Doug Reese, is a close friend of Moe's and has some very good poems here. I, being much like the Huichol Indians in Mexico who eat peyote, don't have any curse words in my vocabulary, but I try not to rationalize and censor when people use them in their poems, so I've permitted a few to slip under the wire. Even when censoring serves its purpose, it is also a form of rational analysis based on preset values that impose upon the freedom of the mind. I have thusly put explicit on this particular podcast in iTunes, whatever that must mean. May I remind you to buy the author's books. My book is Spirits of Bondage and Inherent Transcendence. It is fun buying books to put on your shelves. I am waiting, for instance, for Donovan's newly published autobiography, The Hurdy-Gurdy Man. My new book, Little Bird Told Me, might delay a little bit, but be patient, it will be out soon. The poetry segment will start shortly. Hello again, this is John R. This first poem, called Swimming in Your Eyes, is simply a love poem. Here is the poem. I love your eyes, I like to swim in their pools. I love your mind, as simple as a beautiful verdant forest, but this woodland is not mine. I love your brainy attempts to understand love, and especially when you become mentally wavering and told him, depart, I never knew you. Your hand wrapping a wrap around my shoulders like a cloud wrapping itself around a mountain. I love the way you talk when you make a picnic out of simple conversation and make a joy out of small knick-knacks of words instead of champagne absurdities. I like your chest and the way your heart beats when you realize you have only been given the second best instead of something heart-to-heart. Real feelings are substituted for false ones. Your love is across the bear. My love doesn't pick sides, but it picks a romantic night with a full moon that bends the tides. Who I love will be full of vision and hearing. There will be a cross between primal unity and knowing the way with a compass for bearing. The love will be a gape, but a gape with selfless love. With this love like a fire in a stove, there will be more. There will be butter and loaves. I want my love to be rewritten and resung, not painful, like when love came to you as if by a bee that stung. I don't want young, naive love or old, withered love. I don't want to boast and toast a love that didn't die at the mercy of the weathers of time, because the lights in the night will blind. No tricks of the mind do I wish to perform, because in the night during this storm there will be still enough glimmer in our minds to dispel our bad weather friends, the ghosts that hold our unity in spite, that ruin good times. I don't know whether our love is written in paper, wood, or stone, but our love is brought before some sort of God that shouldn't rattle us to the bone. Our love is not derision or wicked decision. Mainly our love stands tall like the pines and bowls us over whether the weather is stormy or fine. This second poem, Nirvana, is a poem I wrote about memories of Jalapa, Mexico. It is a little pueblo about 30 miles from any road near Puerto Vallarta. Here's the poem. The geese are my grandparents. They migrate across the mountain to give me southern comfort. The waves lapping the shore with sea and foam toast a beer of sea and foam to me when I am alone on the beach. The crickets tell me to address my feelings to the otherness in a manic hum, like the scratchy wail of a woman in a prayer meeting. The scratchiness of the cricket's tick makes me scratch and wonder why. The crow crows and tells me not to stare at him. He is the reincarnation of someone who never reflected on his error. He took one step over the line and is constantly crowing, "Don't step over the line," or "Stop bothering me, I don't have a dime." The blue ocean by the Pueblito is not a vacuum of emotion. It is the blue eyes of an orphan who was trapped in the sky and is trying to remind Earth to always remember their child's blue eyes as blue as the sky and to always smile lovingly into this blue. The black of night isn't necessarily lonely. It is a man in a black suit, studded with sequins that are really stars. He sings with the wind of the night and the inaudible rotation of the spheres and echoes the years, hoping and watching so that nobody will get lost in the night like he did. This last poem, called A Jade Cross, is about the past, and no matter how innocuous, the past always somehow appears to go jaded no matter what we do. Here is the poem. When I was a kid, I fell in love with a girl who served me jade-colored lemonade, but the juice was soon to become poison to the taste. We would both learn that love would become only a token made in jade and would fade with time. It would be like a woman who wore a jade necklace that was only just for show. Beauty and love would walk away from her and go. Just as Pontius Pilate knew the sound of Jesus' name as it rang for the first time in his mind, innocent and clear, through time it would sound jaded with the sin of the world and tinted with fear. This is just like Jesus in our hearts, because we only get a few times to accept Jesus and play our Christian parts. During this time, we struggle like Pontius Pilate between the foes of appearance and reality, but soon we are labeled jaded sinners, or we pine for the pine cross that is all we can keep as our own. Thank you very much.
This is H.D. Moe. I'm going to be reading from Winged Wows, a forthcoming book that's going to be coming out sometime in the spring. And this first poem is it's called A Sleep Awake, and it's an actual rendition of a dream. A sleep awake, I came upon a pondering pond, deep in my green dream. Like a velvet dream, its surface was a sealed eye that seemed to contain the focused aim of all thought, I thought, when rippling then a wave made lips which broke and spoke. Hum, my friend, smile within your emotional mountain climate. The world of mind is open, utopian, othering care, and dares to be powerfully kind every time. Then a sun ray snaked o'er this little lake, its beam looking for the origin of all. My senses feeling felt, and the light fell into itself as it became looped around inside the giant tuba that light had made, and out of this horn's flowery mouth gold negroes grew, and from them my breath enlightened moons whispering by synuvial ocean's tide, and the day bloomed a neutral sheen, and gone then went my dream. This second poem is kind of more into the conscious state. Lucid, awake, I'm clear nothing. Novel freedom envelops my all. In the grain of a cork, musically new roots kick up hedonic tones, smoothing out monadically the returning kundalini gyroscopes. Freckling equidistant architectures, drinking giraffe, across the mushroom betwixt us, sparkling with winks and conversation, Belladonna Mephistopheles turns away and waterfalls her dazzling darkness over bass fiddle ringside spiderwebs, pirouetting into eye consistency, the moon face not seen, bone-tossed instant kindlings of oceanic twirls, gerundoling enthymemes deep under looks, groovy rituals, diamond through everything, including itself, iceberg mirrors, whittling water into tears without reflection, rivers lit up by more than skeletal lightning bolts, daggering from within, nervous pyramids, outlining auras, free-throwing halos, as echoic as touched touche, the sky hung over like wolf champagne, goofily trapped in an unpopular bubble. Iams included middle, winged, open abysses, tethering to non-avoidance the ping from the pong. Natural rationality breathes lions upon a human light to liberate the yolks of dawning yawns of food, whooping dizzily, a roomied rambeau stirs around my childhood maypole. Jungling aughts off earth's lasso, tacit gnosis I know grows unknown, recalling within us now. There's no thing not to learn, the bizarre we are is here. An evening thunder in our bloody hat nocturnally knocks upon the this and that. And the third poem is kind of a reverie of the inner nature of when the imagination door opens. Everlasting goners, ape fat smoke, big leap. Everlasting goners, ape fat smoke, big leap. Climbing rueful mathematics, napkin uncovering, ab ovo, vacuums liberty, walking upon tiny thought boats, yonder than horizons ken. Justice writes, keep the tip up to the blue, piercing through the ogham's, spellbinding letters lined along O's. Intimate abstractions, mystical pragmatism, residing under the finger bones, circling the dotted white sky, hung on gargoyle raindrops, aeolian uprisings carry the hollows, mirroring giant light like dew or conscious scribbling, invisible to itself, paths ushering the senses, lost in their foundling too, making a discovering, spinal waterfalls, flying me, my breath. The third poem, or rather the fourth poem, is kind of more of a trip on a train going up to Oregon. I'm looking out at different things going along, clicking along my mind picture here. Siamese balloons, cries the digital typhoon, naps ensconced in the red Viking dugout. Lies hoodwinked without vector or nail, groking across a wigwam, donning underground pollinated stardust, mummified alive by a lily tornado. Before wormholing Fred Allen Wolf, universes appear. Everything swirls in its rational correspondence, framing a light out of angelic clouds and emotions, symmetry arising the hands of the deep sundown, puppeting gestures and words from the night's cradle. Riding over the Golden Gate Bridge upon an anthropic dragon, blending love with logic into reason, wheeling her shoulders around, orbiting looks of Las Vegas enzymes, grottoed up against a prehistoric corner, led by insane wisdom's erroneous beauty, inventing novelty too odd to be numbered or told. And the fifth poem, it's kind of another scene. Well, I wrote some of these. I was in Paris in a. We had a tour that went around France, and I read with the Baby Beats this anthology. So this is part of it in Paris. Hand on mouth photographs developing in thoughts hidden to come out what they are, swimming up from the inside via invisible energy, looping under the back stairs, lifting folds and grooves, Cezanne's bleeding apple, rising in Paris, a dark room sunset, waving from the grip of an imaginal aperture guarded by truth's illusion, crusting over wombs, official badger starlight, earthworm lips rolling upon gravity's eternal boomerang, a rocking chair penis fishing in the night skull, or a flying womb womiaking here between clocks in the attic and basement dreams, the scientific presence of our necessary wow like a singing flower, rinky-dink therefore is getting dark things around everywhere. Within this singular voodoo narratives become fat shiny magnets, moony bullets drawn through the holy thicket of werewolf barbershops. Heliotropism lost in the outside elephantine airspace, seeking its own reflection as intimacy's other always wins the one. And then one more on this segment. This is, well, this is sort of a recursive poem, things turning back on themselves. Omnilateral meanderings carry away all purpose, rickshawing a wheelbarrow full of its own departure, lonely occasions bristling with wild nows, if then, or, and thrust through by hints, making more via there could be than whatever is. Novel anticipation hopping over sing-song drawbridges, jogging random ubiquity, love and wonder naming a new bug, antique peacocks, geisha, the multi-universe weighing only the floating size of yesteryear, roly-poly lookouts imagining vermilion guns, sans any bullseye in the donkey's tail, winter and grays negotiating nitroglycerin moonlight, escape from a sunbeam, feathering blooms, amazing dread, cycling, cycloning, pin curls, snow-drifting logicians, milking the boneyard with origin's unconditional initial, Newtonian memories forgetting that wombs are doors that give a yes and a no behind each such, climbing your thumb, let the feeler speak. This is H.D. Moe again on the second segment from my book Winged Wows. This is my latest poem, sort of my sense of my nature being. Breathing guillotines whistle through my laughing mind. Addicted to independence, handkerchiefs float over kneeling races. Tragically, ever private, the unique of all of us is our original sense. Imagination's superstring puppets, just white hairs grown into birth. Ennui smokes a rosebud, monkeying among ice cubes for the invisible. Nothing found created tunneling remembrance, virgin illusions living over and within existence. Boolean is tuning fork stampedes, gravity's notional. I'm always sideways, curtains, whispering darkness, hooded by the aura of a rattled mouse, thin like no difference, yet alien from each such, thick with speculations, flying illuminations, chalk dust. Immediately before waiting time happens, enigmas are folded open. Psychoid virtuality, neither anywhere or gone, jigsaw puzzling, a smoo. Always original, thornbush lifting off my knit cap. This is my second latest poem. Always original, thornbush lifting off my knit cap, diving into wounds, remembering presence now. A figure eight lulling snake eyes. Thumb tips cracked by garlic operations. Mirrors alive, boomeranging tickles. Clawing sketch pads, Dorje diploma, watching looks enter the innings of an unending flummox, bungling through memes, phantom tummy, not knowing never reveals its everlasting ignorance, Adamic ribbons winging over mathematical faith, immortal hushes, nudely diaphanous, jump between whence and hence, snowing asleep the flying light landing within me, ear to the opaque dreaming rainbow, kettle drumming pulses, Nova touches, birthing openness everywhere. This is an earlier poem that I wrote after Gregory Corso came over to my house. But it's kind of remembrance, you know, of the beginning of it. It's a current poem, but it was years ago, but it's sort of remembrance here. When we chanced across the random sky, the icy beast and I, neither here nor there shibboleth to pass through by. No algorithm leitmotifed our flux. Droopy panthers slunk among us as letters before their ink was dry. Read them quick, my ear was told, or these creatures beside you now unread will eat all up in one big gulp, inhale you whole via their black hole, carbon these felines in, or the night of them must blot you out when evening's rout wends her colossal silhouette and blind rain grows from a wild liquored kitten tip-tapping upon your slick-down head. Departed atomic singularities and unremembered non-existence. This is a writing sort of a thing, you know, in between state, a hypnagogic state. A forgotten word scries round my gazing liquid Mickey Finn to sleep, lost in gray invisible light, vague as a clouded ashen stone rolls across my open way. Dowsing underground I poke, rub-a-dubbing wits, igenous core, brewing up the embered brain, down what star-knows moly den of liar's truth did letters inkly limbed, like twigs once grafted onto Deem's phoneme, caught in an overwhelming wind of mind, goof astray from their old remembered tree, and fall gone now to every poem to nestle, I guess, in a rodent hole of prose to hibernate and dream, to nothingness within beneath iambic rocking chairs and charming rhymes not found alive among enough for this asundered sign, held, behold, in deep repose, undiscovered down under, remarkably, in its playful grave, never coming up to me, thy name. Oh, this is in the airplane. Flying between somewhere in France, I think. Maybe to Morocco or something. By the night's window, airplaning in elaborate galactic cocoon, gyroing Rubik Cube jack-in-the-boxes, surprising thought, there's nothing more economical than generous life. Unthinging things wound up in themselves, via lost memories, wondrous love and discovery, gathered against fire, hands mechanical embers, taxiing past illuminated skulls, tiny oceans and dark winks, kniving through phantoms, to find an original blade of winged light, hopping over Garuda's nailed cloud and Eidolon's transparent juggler, backward purple pansy insight looks at me from within each random glance. Ink in the pocket shadows Voltaire, acting sans introspection. Each gesture containing universes to probe with, a tapping, an invisible look, strung about purposes, agenda, crisscrossing reveries, melding glances, uniting dreams, naked light roaming alone through the rattlesnake train, among disappearing winks and flashes, here and gone, on and over, abstract nap upon a broken mousetrap, releasing bodies grab-bagged and kniving in the winter surf, peekabooing under mountain clowns and tiaras, tipped off ahead of eerie murmurs and tearful mirrors, quiet river vapors rising into phantom kabuchi dances, thundered by stone, halos jumping rodeos, dawn's ear behind the Mayan's cloud bank, whistling, screaming nude from elephantine teapots, virginity looming down, wells illumination, misprinting coins and thimbling astronomy's holy net, wheeling away in and out with the grip of your hip heart. Oh, shook up madcap, lettuce dancing from out your hamlet, racing whispers jump under the drum, depth-charging silence, queerly questioning steps analog where glowing thighs mill the crucible of eyes, awakening within frozen liberty, trances ensouled inside geodes, electrons rock and rolling their stone-on-stone telltale rattle, Ivanhoeing constellations poltergeist, gambling among the rim of unheard of ears, hidden by in front lines boneyard golf, your webby moonlight, jack-off hip-hop, donning autumn, falling into spring thought, your Anubis encore at odds with every cause, choir's guitar thumbing across the deserted abyss, Paz vomiting duck, yarn spindling ball, coming around, looking for its beginnings in, down neath your hither thither go. Entelechy. Out of labyrinth whirls of thumb, dervishing in a dimble, blood drops arose, and sight overcame the veil, and with this new view, invisibility grew too beneath each touching look, open like a dark mouse hole, blind and opaque, as a jungle lake awoke, enlightened now to the waking break in an incoming sphere, distant, marbly veined in a cliff of breathless night, rayed alive, golden about, orrowing a flamboyant rout, the hand-tossed dungeon earth was won, an eyelash inkling rolled forth its purple jewel, seesawed and singing, a bandage wrapped in rhapsody, bound around this little-fingered Figaro, aureoling out of an ocean rowboat, yeened by ancestry, leaping unslept, deep past minds, Goswami in tomorrow's glorious gore, falling in yellow moons and bleeding in nails of rain, endless as a ball, the gone forever came. Now these are more automata poems, kind of just put together by just whatever comes in your consciousness. Napkin-warped frozen photons, dice-tossed with infinite asides, die living to the absolute superfluous lily-whacker. Not a pubic toupee or inscrutable mathematical vibraharp's whipped-up raven eyeball. Not Camus beheading zero-desktopping a great-pressed amputee. Not Alexander the Great unknotting an echo to Mark Twain's neither. No, no, as oxygen communists march haired dents and stoplights near here ether. Nor gen reflections leaping upside down tops truth, viewer planted a spiked wheel along these ink blots, ignored odic auditoriums. Here are fluids coined moon lolling under dreaming refractions through whatever is alien to oneself. Gyres blurred tumbleweed, numbering digital perfume staircases, obelisk ideologies trumpeting the blue-tattooed computer spider-lap dancing quasars, up-close oblique vocabularies, humpback licorice, a toad's belly, rodeo riding, dialogues, Pinocchio lumber mills, junk identity, free deeming, everything as the ultimate mimic, a nurse's secret cripple, boomeranging histories, wristwatch, increasing duck-blind pinballs, enigma bedroom, universes woven open. And this is more of a statement poem, lyric statement poem. Art as personal science, feeling wisdom's goofy truth arising in the Orient. Art as personal science, feeling wisdom's goofy truth arising in the Orient. Unbalanced slightly, I apotheosized to draw in the desiring why. A blue house circulating murdering flashlights. Childhood lonely among incandescent emotional stillness. Natives engineering impossible aliens of the ingrown and the unknown, lawn-mowing groupies troop over buried fingers, giving one the bird. Gone othering everything vibes, reflecting a lost infinitude, while an addicted fetish keeps integrity smithereen together, this crucible spinning a dizzy, daisy day within me, as a dreaming lampshade or Odilon Redon's remembered eyeball mushrooming its dark garden, that peekaboos out like a nocturnal Jabberwocky shadow boxer, feigning at busy Arrowhead's rush hour and ebony dawn's dilated mouse click, glowing topsy-turvy heaven in instant ragged lakes, melancholy as an overtime go game, unending Neverland, edging under my silver feet. And these are three little poems that I wrote in Paris and my travels. And then, enduring the jumble stumble of our jumbo jet, enduring the jumpy stumble of our jumbo jet, the writing hand, a vibratory planchette, wombed by original inhibition, yet not letting whatever comes around be its own quickening, like yin-yang encirclement, zug-wanging understudies, bobbing a note through the moving dance of myself, embarrassed inside via the glow of the jitterbug horizon, misspelling tokens, the forgotten nipples unbuttoning webfoots, floating quotes dropped to a leap, riding a halo. Beauty doesn't need understanding, landing, twixt hummingbird roars. Abstraction's jack-off Beatrice carries me into alien mud languages, my breath a knife whittled up into the tip of no time, forklifting a mammoth on mammoth tusks, an Inca dewdrop. Skies crying birth rocks, original hosanna, airborne and winging and otter than never before, cathedral mouths, conscious wraith, leafing through dawns, gambling randomness, wandering among Epimethean, logododilic, and burnt-out observations, hologrammed motherboard. Rooftops, crowded with dishes. This is, I was in Morocco. I'm looking out over this horizon of apartments, you know. Rooftops crowded with dishes, longing for a bite from the smiling moon, teething bananas kissing potato chip ears, epileptic flapjacks tucking in a whirlpool, Medusa spaghetti knitting chopsticks, pulling a gardenia on the Rhine, opium cloyed in utopia, reeling majas, toki nogi, blind delights and floating undergrounds, eternity waits for ketchup to dawn its ubiquitous crow.
Hello, fellow literary groupies. This is Doug Reese. For those of you familiar with modern American poetry, I, of course, need no introduction, but for the rest, I would just say that I am forever striving to approach the elusive goal of mediocrity. I was told that I should flatter my audience, so I would just like to say to all the women out there, you are just spectacularly beautiful, and all you guys are true Adonises. I will be forever in awe of your level of intelligence and profound insight. Now, I would like to start by reciting my famous patented Studebaker poem. Whatever happened to Studebaker, that's what I'd like to know.
Whatever happened to the hawk and the lark and the Gran Turismo? The cars of the future just got up and left, and now I'm as sad as can be. Cause whatever happened to Studebaker is starting to happen to me. Yeah, whatever happened to Studebaker is starting to happen to me. Now, whatever happened to Ike and Dick and the rest of that wonderful crew, like Joe McCarthy and J. Edgar Hoover and good old John Foster Dulles, too. Now all of our friends have come to their ends and left us alone and so blue. Cause whatever happened to Ike and Dick is happening to me and you. Ooh, whatever happened to Ike and Dick is happening to me and you. Now we got yuppie mobiles with radio wheels, 30 miles to a gallon of gas. We got Porsches and Volvos and BMWs coming right out of our... We got Mitsubishis, Toyotas, and Hondas, and all of the rest of them Japs. But I won't be happy till them good old studies come rumbling, rambling back. No, the world started to go to hell when they stopped making Studebakers. Here's another car poem that I wrote called I Want a Car. I want a car, just like the car that carried dear old Dad. It was a Caddy, and the only Caddy that Daddy ever had. Too bad, an Eldorado with a big V8, 90 miles an hour down the interstate. Oh, I want a car, just like the car that carried dear old Dad. While I'm alive, I want to drive a car with all the frills. Air-conditioned comfort, power steering, power windows, hydromatic thrills. Some folks said that Caddy was a hog, burning lots of gas and making lots of smog. But I want a car, just like the car that carried dear old Dad. Poor Dad. Here's a final car poem called The Dream Cars. Here are the dream cars, Cadillacs and Lincolns. Here are the fast cars, Stingrays and Porsches. Here are the cute cars, Rabbits and Datsuns. Here are the ugly cars, Edsels and Hudsons. Where are the dream cars? Gone to the junkyard, gone where dreams always go. Meanwhile, on the just-completed freeway, the future rushes to perfection. This time it's real. This time it's forever. This time it will last. So say the wise men. So say the great men. So say the yes men. So say the con men. Here, rusting and rotting on the shit pile of today are 1,000 yesterdays waiting for tomorrow. Here's a poem in a different vein that I wrote on September 13th, 2001. It's called I See the Banners Waving. I see the banners waving, and I hear the people shout, and it sets my cold heart racing, for I know what it's about. At Gallipoli and Flanders, on the Marne and on the Rhine, I've smelled the smell of gunshot and tasted blood like wine. In Washington and Paris, in London and in Rome, I have seen the same crowds gather as their warriors have come home. On crutches and on stretchers, in caskets lined with gold, here was the gain and glory that the statesmen had foretold. Here was the mighty victory. Here was the vaunted pride. But the cheers seemed strangely muffled for the soldiers that had died. I see the banners waving, and I've seen them all before, and it sets my cold heart racing, for I am the God of War. And finally, for my last poem, I will do one I call Miss Platypussy. Caught a ship out of Frisco. It was called the Big Joe. Caught a ticket for Melbourne in the land far below. She was fast as a rainbow, and she flew the bright flag. There was food in me belly and coin in me bag. I had not been ashore there for more than a day, when I went to a pub with me mouth and me pay. She sat at the table with her flowing black hair, with eyes sharp as sin and a smile like a prayer. Paid a bob for a Foster's, and I started to drink. Paid a quid for another, and I started to think that the love of an angel was in those dark eyes. So I went to the table, and I told her some lies. She told me some secret for lovers to share, as she kissed my wet lips and I stroked her dark hair. She tasted of heaven and smelled of delight, but she left with another at the end of the night. Down the back streets of Melbourne I wandered in vain, as I looked at the faces and wept in the rain. But I found not a whisper of that woman so bold, who took all me money and then took me soul. Now they got kangaroos and they got wallabies. They got koala bears in their eucalyptus trees. They got dingoes and dangoes and sheep and galahs. And they got platypussies with poisonous claws. So come Kelly, come Nelly, come Rose and Marie. Come Patsy, come Nancy, there's no girl for me. Be she skinny or fat, be she short, be she tall. 'Cause it's Miss Platypussy or no girl at all. Thank you.
This ends the Mystic Babylon Open Mic Poetry Podcast. I hope you can come back in 2 weeks. Thank you, Doug and Mo.
This podcast is a member of the Association of Poetry Podcasting
at poetrypodcasting.org.